Happy Monday, everybody. I know it's time to head back to work or school, but let's make it a great day by talking Disney. We're getting ready to sit down with Mel to talk about his amazing Walt Disney World vacation. But first, how about a word from our sponsors? And speaking of back to school, we all need a reset sometimes in life. We need to kind of get out of the rut that we're in and set some goals and try to make ourselves a little better each and every week, each and every month, every year. And one of the ways you can do that is just to get fired back up for life, to set some challenges, to set some goals and get inspired. And one of those people that inspires you, I'm sure, is Walt Disney. So I'm going to encourage you today to pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt by author Jeff Barnes. This is the story of Walt Disney chasing his dreams and setting goals himself and going through some failures, but also learning how to absorb those failures and turn them into successes down the line. So this is a great book. It's a great time of the year to kind of reset things, set some goals, and get inspired. You can pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt on Amazon, pick up a hard copy, soft cover, ebook, or audio versions. And even better, you can grab a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. And don't forget, with The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. You can grab that one-year subscription for less than $15 right now. So do it today. It's an insurance policy against the crowds and gives you so many tools to make that next vacation awesome. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1216 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Let's make this an awesome week. No better way to kick it off than by reliving some awesome Walt Disney World memories. And we're going to do just that. We're heading out to Ohio, out to Columbus area. We're going to talk to our good friend Mel. Mel, how's it going today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Getting to talk with, you here, and we're going to talk Walt Disney World. That's a pretty easy way to get a week going in the right direction, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to head back to last February. So tell us about this trip down to Walt Disney World, because this one's got a lot of unique aspects to it. And I think it's going to really help people that are planning their future vacations.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say the biggest thing was this is the first time that we got to take our daughter to Walt Disney World. So she was right about 18 months back in February. And it was my wife's really second real trip to Walt Disney World. I grew up getting to go to Disneyland a fair amount as a kid when we would go to California to visit family, and had been to Disney World a handful of times. But this was kind of the first big trip with us having a family of our own, as well as we went along with my parents. So we had a nice multi-generational week, so to speak.
So those are fun, but they do require a lot of forethought and a lot of planning, especially with the baby's first time trip. So tell us about your planning and about how you decided where you were going to stay, when you were going to go, you know, all the things that you have to do sitting around the kitchen table before the trip actually starts to take shape.
Yeah. So my parents had some good friends who happen to be DVC owners, who allowed us to rent some points from them and kind of try that experience out. So that was wonderful. And we talked a little bit about where we might want to stay. We knew we wanted to do a two-bedroom villa just so that we would kind of have space to spread out a bit. And ultimately, we chose Bay Lake Tower just because you can walk to Magic Kingdom and it really doesn't get any better than that. And so knowing that we would want to spend a lot of time there with our daughter, it just made a lot of sense.
All right, so let's talk about, you know, you were there early February, avoiding any of those President's Day weekend, stuff like that. You were there earlier in the year. So how were the crowds? How was the weather for folks that might be looking to go this time of year for 2018?
Yeah, I thought the crowds were very reasonable. I have been there in the fall, kind of back when it really, you did have a low season back in the late 90s. And then I had been there kind of in late May as well, more recently. And I would say that it was probably a little bit lighter than what you would see in late May. If you're someone who kind of follows like the touring plans, crowd levels, it was like, I would say a 4 on most days at most of the parks. So it was definitely pretty reasonable. The weather was incredible. I know that sometimes in February it can get kind of cold for Orlando, but we really lucked out this year. It was like mid to upper 70s all week long, and there was one quick little shower one evening, but other than that, it was sunny and blue skies, so can't beat that.
I'd take that right about now. The heat index today was, as we're recording, was 99 in St. Louis, so talking about 70 sounds really, really good. You know, and I think that's, like you said, I mean, you can have some, you know, abnormalities. You can have some cold snaps down in Florida that time of year. But generally, February is a great weather time and crowd time as long as you avoid President's Day weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say the worst part was when we came home to Ohio. We stepped off the plane and it was 19 degrees out. Oh, so that was a bit of a rude awakening.
That's a punch. I've been there, man. That's a punch in the face. Like, oh, man, I'm glad I didn't decide to wear shorts on the plane. You know, it's just one of those things you want to, but you know better. Yeah, the Midwest gets you. So let's talk about what'd you do to prepare the family? You know, it sounds like you're the big Disney fan. Your wife, you know, hasn't had the experiences you have. Obviously, you're bringing the baby. And I remember my first time that, you know, I was researching like the perfect umbrella stroller, not a cheap one from Walmart. You know, we paid like a fortune for some, I can't remember, McLaren or something. But I'd researched, you know, we got to get this at Babies R Us because it's light, it folds up, it'll work on the buses. What kind of stuff went into your planning as far as like that stuff, preparing everybody for a great experience?
Yeah. So, you know, for the stroller thing, I remember growing up and going with my younger brother, we would just rent the stroller direct from Disney. Well, now what's so nice is there are many services out there where you can rent strollers and they'll actually just deliver them to your resort. So that's what we did, which was great to not have to try to fly with a stroller and lug that through the airport. So that was definitely convenient, and it was a kind that folded up real nice and easily if you were on Disney transportation. So that was not an issue at all. So I would definitely recommend that if you don't want to have to fly with a stroller. The other thing is we definitely knew that we wanted to do Disney's Magical Express, which that was actually the first time that either myself or my wife had used that service. In the past, we'd always had a rental car, and that was just so easy. We didn't have to worry about flying with a car seat, doing anything like that. We just got off the plane, grabbed something to eat at the airport, walked downstairs and hopped on our bus and away we went. And so that was super nice. The other thing that we ended up taking advantage of while we were there, and it's kind of like one of the highlight tips for this trip, is I'd heard just kind of from the Disney community before we went down about the baby care centers in all the parks. And it literally kind of saved us one night in Epcot. My daughter ended up not feeling super well, and we were looking for some baby Advil and realized we didn't have it, or at least didn't know where we had packed it. And so we just walked into the baby care center, and they have literally anything that you could possibly think of. They have it there and available. They even had the flavor that we knew that she would actually take. So that ended up being a bit of a godsend.
Yeah, until you have kids, you don't realize that having the medicine is only 50% of the battle. It has to be the right flavor, the right color, the right consistency. Until you have kids, I'm telling you might be laughing here on a Monday. It's the honest to God truth.
It was great. So we definitely appreciated that. And the cast members who work in the baby care center are so nice. It's a really quiet, relaxing place. So if you're traveling with a young child, even if it's not necessarily a baby, but just a young child, a toddler, and needs somewhere kind of quiet in the air conditioning, just trying to get out of the crowds, it's definitely a relaxing place to be.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we haven't reminded folks about those baby care centers in quite a while. And that's something not to be forgotten if you're traveling with kids. That's a huge plus for Disney. Now, let's hop into, okay, you fly down, get on Magical Express, take the bus over. I'm a huge fan of Magical Express too. It just takes all the thinking out of everything. You hop on, you know, you get in line, boom, the bus is ready. You drive over and vacation starts. Talk to us about your first impressions of Bay Lake Tower as a whole, as a resort, staying there at the Contemporary, and the 2-bedroom unit. How did it work out for your family dynamics?
Yeah, so we had never stayed on the resort loop before. So that was definitely so cool to just be there right on Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake on the other side of the building. I remember driving up to it and we had some folks that were also on the Contemporary Resort on the bus with us, and we pulled up there, and people were like, oh no, that's the one with the giant rooms. We're not getting off at this one, you know? So, which was kind of funny. But we got off, and my parents had actually beat us there because they don't live in the same city as us. So they had flown down previously, and I think they were off at a different resort having some lunch when we arrived. So we just got on the elevator, went up to our room, you know, with the Magic Band, walked right in, and we were super lucky. We got to stay in a theme park view room. And so the first thing you notice when you walk in the room is this giant panoramic window of, you know, the monorail going by and Cinderella's castle and Space Mountain, and there's a ferry boat coming across Seven Seas Lagoon. It's like absolutely everything that you think of when you think about Disney World in one window shot. It was pretty cool.
You'd imagine that would almost kind of be like a mural on the wall, except it's a real life mural. You know, it's not even 3D. It's like real life happening. You know, all the magic's unfolding right there, right outside your gigantic window. I could imagine that that's a pretty amazing way to start a vacation.
It was great. And so we ended up just hanging out in the room for a good portion of the first day and just kind of sitting there and watching the world go by, which was really nice.
So tell me about the two-bedroom, because, you know, I was very fortunate due to my buddy Scott, who's DVC. We got to split a two-bedroom with him, last month when we were down there at Old Key West. And I know Old Key West has the largest accommodations because it was the first, but irregardless, you know, we're a family that, you know, we grew up staying at Pop Century, four people in one standard room at Pop. And then we graduated to a moderate, never once would I sit Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom. But it was a whole different ballgame in that two-bedroom. I mean, it had space. Like you said, you can hang out in there. Like, it totally changed the dynamics of the vacation for us. We slowed down. We hung out. We had snacks. Was that true of you guys, too, in this larger unit?
Yeah. So my mom is she really enjoys cooking, whether she's on vacation or not. So she was really excited to have that full kitchen. And I think they used Garden Grocer and ordered food and different things for the week so that we would have that there. We didn't do all of our meals in the room, but we did a fair amount of them. And so just being able to not worry about, you know, if you're hungry and you want a snack, you just walk over to the drawer and pull something out, right? So that was super nice, especially in the morning for breakfast. You're not feeling like you're rushing around trying to get out of the room to go to a food court and get something to eat and then make it to a bus and do all this stuff. So it added a level of being able to be just relaxing a bit. And that's definitely nice when you have a little one who, you know, may or may not sleep the best because you're not at home and things like that. So just kind of made for a little bit more of a leisurely Disney experience, which sometimes isn't always very leisurely as fun as it is.
That's so true. You know what I think that, it, you know, if you're considering staying at a villa, you know, a deluxe villa type amenity, is that I think they really sing when you get to spend time with folks that you don't normally get to see as often as you would like, because it worked out great for us because, like, my buddy Scott and his family, they live in Michigan. We're in St. Louis. Mallory's best friends with his daughter. So Emily and Mallory got to hang out and just, you know, they never get to just like watch TV together or just do, like, they had a craft set that they were working on one night. And I think these things are really good for, like you said, multi-generational families where, you know, the grandparents want to see the grandkids and, you know, catch up with everybody. And it takes, you know, your traditional vacation, like if you're going away to like a cabin or something, you have that kind of vibe going on. But then you still have all the amenities and all the amazing experiences of Walt Disney World right outside the door. So I think it's kind of the best of both worlds when you do something like this.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. My daughter loved just having space to kind of run around and do her thing. And you know, my parents had a room, we had our own. The other big thing about the Bay Lake Tower two-bedroom villas is there's actually three full bathrooms. Wow. So not all of the deluxe villas in the two-bedroom have three, some just have two. So having that third bathroom to get ready in the morning was great because three people could take showers at once. So that was really nice too.
Man, that's awesome, because I know, like, we had two bathrooms at Old Key West for the two families, but the one bathroom had kind of like a little vanity kind of outside the you know, the bathroom itself with a sink and a mirror and stuff like that. So, you know, I would quickly get a shower and then get booted out while, you know, a Pam took over the bathroom. So, but it worked out well. It kind of reminded me of a cruise line setup, because when you have a place for everybody to get ready simultaneously, whether it's in the morning or you're freshening up for a dinner after a day in the parks, I think that, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because you can't really understate how nice that is when you're not all fighting. Like I said, I'm used to having four people, three ladies, three girls in my family in one bathroom at Pop Century, man. You know who never, you know who always had to go to the main building? I was down at Everything Pop, you know, using the restroom, because I didn't have a prayer, you know, so that, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, it was definitely really nice.
So walk me through, you guys were there a Sunday through a Thursday, which I think is really smart, because if you can avoid those Friday and Saturday nights, if you don't know, Disney charges a premium for those nights at the hotels, and DVC does as well. So that's well thought out. And also you tend to avoid some of the local crowds in certain situations. So walk us through your time in the parks Sunday through Thursday.
Yeah. So, you know, our first evening, I always think it's really great to go to the Magic Kingdom first, and with the ability to just walk there from Bay Lake Tower, it was hard not to do that. So we had planned a few fast passes for that evening. We made dinner back at the villa and then loaded everybody up and walked over. And that walk is great. And even if you're staying in the main contemporary building, it's so quick and convenient. Honestly, it kind of made us just want to go to the Magic Kingdom every day, because it was, oh, we could walk 10 minutes or we could go and take transportation, which is fun, but takes a while. So it was, that was really, really nice. So we walked over, and the very first thing we did was we went and met Talking Mickey on Main Street, which for all the Disney experiences that I've had, I really have not done many character interactions. And so I'd heard on shows like this and other podcasts just about how neat meeting the Talking Mickey really is. And so we went and did that first, and it was incredible. One of the things that's really great with young kids there is that they bring you into the room to meet Mickey, and there's usually two or three groups of people ahead of you that are meeting Mickey before you. And so your kid gets to actually like watch Mickey's interaction with other children before it's their turn. And I think that that really helped my daughter feel comfortable. She was not nervous or afraid to meet Mickey in the least. It was really cute. We sat her down on the floor and she stood there and she started waving her arms around as Mickey walked over, because she was like beyond herself excited and starstruck. So it was really, really sweet. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I've wondered myself if that's intentional, because it's almost like you're on deck. Like if you're a baseball team, like you're on deck, you're in the hole, you know, you're getting ready to come up, but it gives you that. I think that if you took a 2-year-old, fired him in there with Talking Mickey immediately, you know, Mickey's coming, walking out at you. And I guess somebody has to be first. Well, no, because they kind of filter you in, but I think it would be overwhelming. Like it would be scary for a kid. All of a sudden you go right, you know, through a door, wham, there's this, you know, 4.5 foot tall talking mouse coming at you, but they get a chance to warm up. And I hope that's intentional, because I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point, that the kids get to see, oh, Mickey's fun. He's doing magic tricks. He's doing this, he's interacting. And it really does make for a better experience once it's your turn to have your time in the spotlight.
Yeah, it was great. She really, really enjoyed it. And of course, in classic Disney fashion, you walk out of the room where you got to meet Mickey right into a gift shop full of all kinds of fun Mickey things to buy. So she got her first Mickey Mouse plush right after that. So that seemed to be appropriate.
That's it. So what else you guys do at the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time in Fantasyland. That's the one thing that's so fun about the Magic Kingdom is even though our daughter is young, there's really very little that she can't do. And especially in Fantasyland, other than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, she can ride everything there. And so we went and I think that night we went and rode the Little Mermaid, and we may have ridden the carousel that night as well. We didn't have a super late night there because we knew that my daughter would be tired from travel that day. And so I think after we got off of the Little Mermaid, she fell asleep in her stroller, kind of right on cue. So my wife and my mom walked back to Bay Lake Tower, and my dad and I went and grabbed a spin on Space Mountain real quick. And that's kind of what we did for our first day. And then we went back to the hotel, and we actually watched Wishes from the balcony because Wishes was still going on nice. At that point. So that was really neat to be able to watch the fireworks straight from our room.
That's a great way to end the night, man. You don't have to fight the crowds. You just, okay, let's go to bed. You know, like, we're here. We don't have to fight everybody. Let me ask you this, though, because you mentioned it's your daughter's first trip. You're obviously a Disney fan. You're excited about giving her these experiences. Did you do anything special to document the occasion, like when she got her first Mickey plush and her first ride on the carousel? Did you guys do Memory Maker? Or did you intentionally do anything with the photos and stuff like that?
Yeah, so we definitely took some pictures ourselves, but my parents are also annual pass holders. And so that was the really nice thing about having an annual pass holder as part of our group is we really did take full advantage of Memory Maker, because any pictures that were taken as part of our Magic Bands, my parents were able to access and kind of keep for keepsakes going forward. So that was definitely a great service. And I think had we not had annual passes, the Memory Maker definitely would have been worth it, because there are some really great photos that we got working with the photo pass photographers.
Absolutely. They're amazing. They're really stepping their game up with the special shots and just how they interact with kids, especially. They really get some awesome poses and expressions on the faces and stuff like that. So I think that's a huge, huge plus to the annual pass. You know, I think that's overlooked a lot of times, but that's a value add that's huge with annual passes. All right, so let's hop on to the next day. Your first day at Magic Kingdom. What do you guys do moving through the week?
Yeah, so Monday morning we went to Animal Kingdom to take advantage of some extra magic hours in the morning. And I tell you what, Animal Kingdom in February is where it's at. That was the first time that I've ever been to Animal Kingdom and it wasn't like 100 degrees. So that was really, really great to just be there and enjoy how beautiful it is and enjoy the animals and some of the attractions without just dripping in sweat the entire time.
And this is pre-Pandora too, February.
Yep. And so you can still see the construction, obviously the floating mountains. We're certainly visible from the bus stop, but yeah, no Pandora at that point.
So any highlights as far as attractions or maybe a meal or a snack or anything over there at Animal Kingdom that stood out for you guys?
Yeah, so I think two things. The first was we had lunch at Yak and Yeti in the table service side, and that was really, really good. We enjoyed the food a lot. My daughter even loved it. And so that was really fun. We had a table that was kind of upstairs overlooking, you know, kind of the main path in front of the restaurant. So you got to enjoy your meal and sort of watch Animal Kingdom go by.
That's one of my favorites too. I love some Yak and Yeti. Wish I was having it right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. So that was great. And then my wife and I went and rode Expedition Everest, which I've ridden several times. But the only other time that my wife had been at Walt Disney World, she was actually pregnant with our daughter. So that was actually the very first roller coaster my wife and I have ever ridden together, and we've been married 5 years. So,
wow,
that was fun to do that together.
What'd she think? Because I can do Everest once. If I do it twice back to back, like Mallory wants to do, I feel bad. Like that backwards part gets me sometimes. So, is it one of your wife's favorites? Like it sounds like it's one of yours.
I really enjoy it. And my wife had fun, but what was funny is we got off the ride and we were walking out and we were like, why are our legs shaking? When did we get old?
Exactly. That's so true. That's how I feel. Oh, I know. Space Mountain reminds me I'm getting old every single time I ride. Favorite attraction, but it's going to kill me like in the next few years, I promise. All right. So talk to us about the next day. So you guys have done Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom. Did you guys hit all four parks while you were there?
So we went everywhere except the studios.
Interesting.
And that was mainly just because I wasn't sure how my daughter would do with a lot of the shows there. Because I know that there's lots of great shows to go to. But as far as the rides, there really wasn't a whole lot that we could take her on. And so I really wanted to try to focus on attractions that I knew that she would enjoy being only 18 months old.
That's good. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, because, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're under two, there's not a lot there. I mean, yeah, maybe in a few years, I guess.
Yeah. So we'll definitely go in the future.
All right. So tell us about Epcot then. It sounds like you guys headed over there.
Yeah. So we actually went to Epcot the evening of after Animal Kingdom. We went there in the evening and we were able to snag a fourth fast pass for Test Track. And so we were going to go over there. And that was actually the same night that we went and used the baby center. And while we were in the baby center, we got an email that Test Track had gone down. So Disney had provided us a fast pass that was good for any attraction except Frozen. So we ended up going over and experiencing Soarin', which was the first time any of us had ridden it since they had changed the film on it. So we got to experience Soarin' around the world for the first time.
So what do you think, the new version or the old version, if you had to pick?
I'm definitely nostalgic for the old version because I rode it for the first time when California Adventure was practically a brand new park. And so my first exposure to it was there. But I do really enjoy the new version. I love how clear everything is. And, you know, if you are on the sides, you can definitely, you're going to experience the screen bending. But especially if you've had the opportunity to ride that attraction multiple times and are just going because it's so great, it's still lots of fun. I'll continue to ride it. We did get lucky on one of our rides of it and got to sit on the top row in the very middle. So definitely best seat in the house. So that was definitely great. But either way, I still think it's a great attraction.
I'm right with you. It's awesome. I mean, you know, I love seeing beautiful places that I may never see in my lifetime. And Soarin' does that for me each and every time I get a chance to ride it. Now, let me ask you this. Is your daughter Frozen? Is she a big Disney movie fan? Like, does she know Frozen? And was Frozen a priority for you guys on this trip?
So she had seen bits of Frozen before we went. And we actually did have a Frozen Fast Pass for later in the week that, as sacrilegious as it may sound, we ended up giving up because we changed our plans on the fly later on in the week. So we did not experience it. But we're going to be going back to Walt Disney World here in September. And so we have a Fast Pass for Frozen again. So we'll get to experience that for the first time next month.
And you know what? You're probably looking forward to it on that trip. And if you rode it back in February, you wouldn't be looking forward to it as much. I think that's what... That's the kind of attitude folks need to have. Like, you just can't see it all. And the stuff that you don't get to see or the stuff you don't get to experience on one trip just gives you a reason to look forward to it on the next. And it sounds like that's going to be your case here. Man, next month you're going back.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool stuff. All right. So walk us through the remainder of this trip. Maybe we'll close out with what you're looking forward to next month.
Sure. So the following day, which I think would have been Wednesday of that week, we did a whole day of Magic Kingdom. And so we went and finished out all of the rest of the Fantasyland attractions. One of the things that was really fun, though, is we got over there, not right at rope drop, but probably within the first 30 minutes of park opening. And Minnie Mouse and Pluto were out on Main Street by the flagpole meeting guests. And so we hopped in line and maybe waited 5 minutes to meet Minnie, and my daughter was over the moon. So we've got some really precious pictures of her meeting Minnie on Main Street with the castle in the background. So that was a lot of fun. And once again, I'm just really blown away by how the characters really take time with each guest. You don't feel rushed. And it's more than just standing there and taking a picture. The non-face characters like Minnie that don't talk to you, they interact with you and make you laugh, and it's a lot of fun. So that was definitely a highlight of that day.
Man, that's something that not every guest will get to experience. So I'm glad that you appreciate that it was so special, and I can imagine those images are probably hanging up in the house somewhere.
Yeah, I've got a calendar full of my Disney pictures.
Good call. So how'd the rest of that day go? Because, obviously you're taking advantage of being at Bay Lake Tower. Magic Kingdom's in your backyard.
Yeah, and so that's exactly what we did. We went over in the morning, and we took the morning kind of slow. We met Minnie, like I said. We went and got Starbucks on Main Street, and my parents love to go and sit under the yellow umbrellas there at the top of Main Street by the ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
And sit with coffee and just kind of watch the Magic Kingdom go by. They call it coffee with a view. So we went and enjoyed some coffee with a view, let my daughter run around on some hub grass, do that kind of thing. So that was nice just to kind of enjoy being there. So we went and did a few attractions, and then we headed back to the villa and had lunch and took naps. It was warm enough that we were able to enjoy the pool that week. And so they have a great splash pad out behind Bay Lake Tower for the little ones. And my daughter loved that. It's not the most themed pool by any means, but the setting right on Bay Lake is pretty picturesque. So the setting definitely makes up for the lack of theming. And so we really enjoyed that. And then we went back to Magic Kingdom for the evening. We had some dinner at Pecos Bill's. And so that was really great. I had forgotten how big of a space Pecos Bill's is. Yes. There is a ton of seating in there. So I could definitely see in the summer months when the crowds are higher, that being a good place to go because you can find somewhere to sit.
Always. I'm a veteran of that place because I get my fajitas, and sometimes we sit in the back corner. It's dark and it's cool, and it gets us out of the sun in the Magic Kingdom there around lunchtime because it gets crazy in the summer there. So, here's what I'm noticing about your trip, and talk to our audience about this. A lot of folks go down and they don't necessarily feel good about the vacation if they don't do a lot of stuff. You know, they have a big checklist. We did these attractions. We saw these shows. We ate at these restaurants. It sounds like you really kind of took it easy, like your parents having, you know, their coffee with a view in the Magic Kingdom and, you know, your daughter running around in the hub and stuff like that. Is that something, like, do you ever have any, like, oh, we're not doing enough feelings on your vacation? Or is it like, this is just right? This is what vacation should be all about.
So I would say I probably struggle with that the most of anyone in my family. So I know that my wife really enjoys being able to take it easy and kind of just enjoy being there. Certainly want to go and ride some attractions and see the shows and do the things that Disney is so excellent at. But they're also really excellent at just being a great place to hang out. And my parents are spoiled rotten and get to go fairly often. So they're to the point now that that's really their favorite thing. It's easy for them to go and visit a park and spend a few hours and maybe not even ride an attraction. They may just go and have a snack that they enjoy and enjoy, you know, the trolley show or something like that on Main Street. So
yeah, it's one of those things that you just kind of have to work your way into, and you got to be very lucky to ever get there because, you know, my first few trips, it was all about, you know, I want to make sure that I see this and I see that and I do this and I get to taste that, have this snack and have, you know, I got to see this, you know, I got to see the electrical water pageant. I got to go check out the lobby at the Polynesian. I just had such a long list and I tried to get as much of it done so that I could come home and have pictures of it and, you know, make those memories. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'll tell you what, if you ever get to that point where you're lucky, you know, you're going to get to go back within a year and, you know, you can walk in the Magic Kingdom, and if you walk out after 6 hours and you did three attractions and had an ice cream cone, it's still a successful day in your mind and you're not having remorse. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's one of the fun things with knowing that our family is kind of doing the DVC thing going forward is we know we're going back. So we know that we may not know exactly when that is, but we know it's coming in the future. So it definitely gives you a little bit of flexibility in knowing that you don't have to try to do everything.
All right, so let's look ahead here. You're going back in next month in September. So what's this trip shaping up to be?
Yeah, so this is going to be the first time I will have ever done a split stay. So that's going to be fun. My wife and daughter and I are actually going to go down for a couple days, just the three of us. We're staying at Pop for a couple of nights. So that's going to be really fun. I've never stayed there. And we're just looking forward to that. Our plan is to kind of enjoy the resort and the pool, maybe go to Disney Springs on the first day when we arrive. And then on our second day there at Pop, I think we're going to go and check out, the studios in the morning and go enjoy some of the shows that I think my daughter is ready to be excited about. So go do Disney Junior Live and some of those things. And then after that, we're going to meet up with my parents again. And this time we're going to go and stay in a 2-bedroom villa at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Ooh. With a savanna view. So I am pretty excited about that. I've been to Animal Kingdom Lodge to go and enjoy a dinner at GECO, but I've never had the opportunity to stay there. So we're really excited.
Oh, let me just tell you, Animal Kingdom Lodge is amazing. Now, I've stayed in savanna view rooms, but just standard hotel rooms. But Pam raves about this place, talking about how you don't have to leave the lodge for 2 or 3 days and you can still have an amazing experience. And that is so true. I think that, you know, you're singing the praises of Bay Lake Tower, but I can't imagine how you're going to feel after staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. You're going to have a great time. That's a great choice.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. We're looking forward to it. And I know my daughter's going to enjoy seeing the animals outside and just being able to enjoy all the really cool scenery there.
All right. Well, Mel, we appreciate you kicking off the week. It sounds like you had a great trip, and we wish you all the best next month and hope you'll come back and share your thoughts on Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, don't forget, today's show has been brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. So stay out of line. See the most amount of attractions possible so that you have time to chill. You know, it's not all about seeing 58 rides in a day. It's about seeing those rides as efficiently as possible. And then, hey, go back and swim or just have your kid run around in the hub. It's, you know, AstroTurf. Just watch the AstroTurf burns. You know what? You can't have them going too fast, but it's all going to be fun. Touringplans.com gives you great trip planning tools to stay out of the crowds. You know, you're going to see things in a great and efficient manner. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Also, don't forget about the Wisdom of Walt. You need a good book. It's a great time to dive into a new book. It's the new school year for most kids. School's just starting. And you know what? Even if you're just working a job that Unfortunately, it just goes on and on and on. How about a reset? Push that reset button. Grab the wisdom of Walt. Read about Walt Disney, how he chased his dreams, what he had to do to set little goals in his life to get certain places. And then once you looked at the big picture, it was pretty successful. You can do the same in your personal life. The Wisdom of Walt is a very inspirational and encouraging read. So check it out today. You can pick up a copy on Amazon or at thewisdomofwalt.com. Speaking of Amazon, don't forget when you do your shopping, we really, really appreciate it if you go through our affiliate link. That's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We get a little kickback from Amazon. It really helps support the show. So anytime you do your shopping online, costs you nothing extra, just please go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group. We have lots of live videos going all the time on Facebook. And you can be a part of the show at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to get out of here and let's get on with your Monday. Thanks so much for checking in. We don't say it enough, but thank you. There's so many great Disney podcasts out there. I know that a lot of you guys listen to lots and lots of them. That's awesome. Thanks for including us in that playlist. We really appreciate each and every time you spend the time listening to our show. All right, so for Mel, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.